from the Gospel of Philip, which is a Gnostic writing. You, who are with the Son of God, do not love worldly things. Love the teacher, so that what you engender will resemble the teacher, and not some other thing. Humans mate with humans, horses with horses, donkeys with donkeys, each species with its own. Likewise, our breath seeks another breath, our intelligence seeks intelligence, and every clarity seeks its light. Become more human, and humans will love you. Become more spiritual, and the spirit will unite with you. Become more intelligent, and the Logos will unite with you. If you become more clear, the light will unite with you. If you ascend, you will find repose in the heights. If you behave like a horse or a donkey, calf, dog, sheep, or any other animal outside yourself, you will be capable of union with neither human spirit, logos, nor light, nor with what is above, nor with what is within. None of these realities can settle in you if you do not become like them through love. Now I'd like to read from the Gospel of St. John, the 15th chapter, reading the verses 9 through 17 from the Scholar's Version. I loved you in the same way God loved me. Live in my love. If you obey my commandments, you'll live in my love, just as I have obeyed God's commandments and live in God's love. I have told you all this so my happiness can be in you and your happiness can be complete. This is my commandment to you. You shall love each other just as I have loved you. There is no greater love than to give up your life for your friends. You are my friends when you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, since a slave does not know what his master is up to. I have called you friends because I let you know everything I learned from God. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I selected you to go out and produce fruit. And your fruit will last because God will provide you with whatever you request using my name. This is what I command you. You shall love each other.
The reading from John is from the lectionary text. The reading from Philip is not. Surprise, surprise. Although it could be. It'd be fun to have a lectionary of Gnostic texts. The Gospel of John and the Gospel of Philip each present unique visions of Jesus. And in these two passages I selected, Jesus is speaking in both cases, and he's speaking about love. In both passages, Jesus wants to elevate his disciples. We're not animals. We're not slaves. We are friends. We are capable of love. We are light, spirit, intelligence. By loving what is ascendant, by loving the highest values, we become those values. We become what we love. Last week, I spoke at a conference hosted by the Husseinia Islamic Society of Seattle, and I was one of six speakers. The topic was Hussein. How many have heard of Hussein? How many know anything more than that? Okay, I'm going to come back to that. Hussein was the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. He was a well-respected leader. The leadership of Islam after the death of his grandfather had become corrupt and not unlike the extreme forms of Islam we see today in the Taliban, Daesh, Al-Qaeda, Wahhabism, and so forth. The leader of the time, Yazid, with 30,000 troops, surrounded Hussein and his family and commanded him to bow down to him, to show authority to him. And Hussein refused to do that, and Hussein and 72 members of his family were killed by Yazid's forces near Karbala, Iraq, in the year 680. So Hussein's progeny became imams or spiritual leaders for what is now called Shia Islam. And Shia simply means the way. So Hussein is considered to have offered the ultimate sacrifice, giving his life for the values for which he believed, for justice, for truth. And according to those who are devoted to him, his sacrifice revealed the true Islam, the Islam of love. And each year, Hussein's martyrdom is remembered. In recent times, upwards of 20 million people visit his shrine in Karbala on Arba Ain, which is the 40th day following the anniversary of his death on Ashura. So you have Ashura, day of his death, 40 days later is Arba Ain. That 40-day period is a period of mourning. So during this period of mourning is a pilgrimage, or ziyara, to his shrine in Karbala, Iraq. And some will walk as many as 400 miles. Many walk for 50 miles, which takes about 3 days from Najaf to Karbala. And the pilgrimage is not an obligation. It's not like the Hajj, where you make the pilgrimage once in your lifetime. This is a voluntary pilgrimage that people can make, and it's not restricted to Muslims either. So Christians can join on it, Zoroastrians, Sunni Muslims, Shia Muslims, all different kinds of people can participate. And the pilgrimage to Karbala, to Hussein's shrine, which is basically, they simply say Arba Ain, is open to people of other faiths to show their respect and to seek barakah, or blessing, by participating as well. And this year, the date of Arba Ain is October 30th and 31st. The days are sunset, you know, from the 30th to sunset, the 31st. It's the largest peaceful gathering of human beings in the world. 20 million people. Get that figure in your head for a second, are estimated to participate. At the conference, I talked to several of the speakers who've been on it. Some go every year. One speaker, Muhammad Beg, who's the president of a Shia seminary in Los Angeles, said that Arba Ain is as close as you will get to utopia on earth. He himself brings 100 people each year to Arba Ain. Pilgrims, when they go, need to bring nothing except the clothes, immediate accessories that they have, because the people who live along the road and from all over Iraq, the hosts provide for the pilgrims. They provide food, they provide places to sleep, they provide medication, massage, even wash your clothes while you rest for the next day's journey. So why am I telling you all this? Well, I was invited to speak at this conference, and I was the only Christian speaker, and I was asked to do so, I guess, because I would. That's most of life, isn't it? People call me to do stuff. Why? Well, I just happen to be home. I'm glad I did. I was deeply moved by this event, by the speeches, by the devotion, by the intellect, by the scholarship, by the commitment to justice and love by these Muslim scholars, the imams, which is a spiritual leader, and all the attendees. I'm not sure how many there were. It must have been about 150, 200, I guess. But in my talk, I shared that I was ashamed as a religious leader that I knew next to nothing about Hussein. I remember I took 3 years of seminary. No class. I took one part of one lecture was about Islam and the whole thing. And then one other, I took a class, which was an elective class, was about dialogue between Christians and Muslims. But that was it. And I know I'm not alone. Few American Christians know anything about Hussein, who is regarded as the door to Allah. He's a major deal. And this pilgrimage is huge, 20 million. It's if the metro population of Seattle is 3 million and Portland is 2 million, it's 6 Seattles and a Portland all at once. The pilgrimage to Karbala on Arba Ain will include a population equivalent, as I said, to 6 Seattles and a Portland, the biggest human gathering on the planet, and Western media rarely ever covers it. The society, the Hussein Society of Seattle, gave me an expense-paid trip to attend the pilgrimage. I graciously accepted with the caveat that I needed to pay my own way. I want to talk about it on the radio. In fact, the next two radio shows are going to be about this event, and I don't want a paid trip to compromise that. That's one reason. But the other is that this is kind of my quest. It's a study opportunity, a continuing education opportunity as I see it, a mission service, in fact, opportunity, ambassador to these folks. And I wish to use those funds graciously provided by Southminster to fund this trip, because I want you to be part of it too. I will be in close contact with friends of the Husseinia Society of Seattle in planning for all of this, as they, of course, have all the connections. And so over the course of the next few months, I'm going to be preparing for this adventure by becoming more familiar with Hussein and with Islam, as well as preparing for a 50-mile, three-day hike on the desert road. And I'm announcing it right up front, in front of everybody, because that's the only way that I will make sure to do it. I'm going to need to get in shape, spiritually and emotionally and physically. Maybe some of you will want to go with me. Maybe others of you will be curious about it and help me prepare for it. No pressure for you. I just think this will be an exciting event for Southminster. And I hope it will be a time to learn what's going on in the world from a perspective that is mostly either ignored or distorted by a lens. I was impressed with the presenters, as I said earlier, and I'm going to have at least three of them on the radio program in the near future. And perhaps it'll work out to bring one of them to Southminster for a conference. I think you'd find them very interesting. So I'm going to play a video for you and invite you to watch it, and then go home and look up Arbaeen, A-R-B-A-E-E-N, on the internet and see what you find. But this is about a four-minute video. It's taken from the sky about this walk. I'm going to share with you the mission statement of the Husseinia Society of Seattle. It's a new organization, and this is its vision. The mission of Husseinia is to build an interfaith community which goes beyond the rituals. Husseinia is a place where people come together to share and discuss ideas, become involved with the broader community, and work on things they're passionate about. We share who we are, celebrate our diversity, not to convert or convince, but in realization of our common humanity. I said, well, I'm on with that. Recognizing that we all belong to the one human race means we have a responsibility to act as a community to affirmatively address issues of social justice. We are inspired by Imam Hussein as 7th century revolutionary leader who made the ultimate stand for social justice in the face of corruption and tyranny. He gave everything, including his life, for the dignity of his society. He challenged the status quo and brought people together. Today he is revered by people of all faiths. It was interesting to see the comparisons that I had made, and others have, many have made these, between Jesus, the devotion towards Jesus by Christians, and the devotion towards Hussein by Muslims. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is reported to have told his disciples that he wants their happiness to be complete. And the key to this happiness is love. No more are they servants and Jesus the master. No more is the relationship hierarchical. The relationship is one of friendship. Friends love one another. Friends give their lives for one another. Happiness comes from love, love expressed through equality and mutual respect. And in the Gospel of Philip, Jesus tells his disciples to love higher things. Love spirit, love light, love logos, love humanity. Both John and Philip, in their unique interpretations of Jesus, agree on one thing: we become what we love. So I'm going to stop there and allow you to have questions or comments. Anybody game for a question?
I'm concerned about, this is a practical thing, about all those people wearing black and what the temperature would be.
Those are the kinds of questions that need to be asked. Did everybody hear that? Why they're all wearing black and what the temperature is? It's Black is for mourning, okay? So the walk itself is a walk of mourning for the death of Hussein. So it is it's a time of collective sharing of tears. The weather, you have to figure it out because it may be really hot, it may be cold. I mean, there are people with coats on. You just don't know until you get ready to go what that's going to be. October 30th, 31st. So it's like 3 days before that and then that. And that reason it's just that date changes because they're on a different calendar. I don't know if that when that was or if that was even October. The worrying questions are very good ones. And they need to happen. We need to have a lot of worrying questions. We need to worry about visas, and we need to worry about how to get there, and we need to worry about temperature and what to wear. I can never begin with worrying questions. If I begin with worrying questions, I never do anything. So I have to believe, start with passion, and then have my worrying questions help me out. Dick.
Do you have any idea how many Christians will be part of this pilgrimage beside you?
I don't know, but I know that there are Christians. In fact, there's another video. In fact, a video that showed at the conference was a video of Middle Eastern Christians being there as servants and hosts as well as participating in it. So there's another marvelous video of, I think, the Coptic Christian leader talking about how important Hussein was in his own faith and for Christians. So there's real sense of respect between Christians and Muslims on Hussein. Hussein is a rather uniting figure. Yeah.
My first reaction was, even though we think we're well-educated and worldly and well-read, how little we know about big chunks of the world. It's completely invisible to us. This is amazing.
There's a lot to be said about why we don't know, and looking into why it is that Western media does not understand or get this, I think will be an important part. There's more to it than just not knowing. I think going over there as a person of wants to be a person of peace and love and connection, I think is an important thing for us to do in the West.
I would be very interested in learning about the extent to which Jesus is really recognized and even perhaps celebrated within the Muslim faith.
Well, again, that's a good question. Muslims know a whole lot more about Jesus than Christians know about Muhammad or Hussein. In fact, Jesus is considered, Isa is the name in Arabic, and he's a prophet. And so, for example, one of the speakers said, Isa, peace be upon him, said this is a prophet, and Hussein, you know, as Isa is for Christians, Hussein is for Muslims in that respect. So I think that's a great way to learn and a great connecting point, I think, yeah.
What are some of the objectives you plan on getting out of this, and what are you looking to learn more about Hussein?
What are the objectives, and what do I want to learn? So there's an intellectual part of it that I want to be able to understand and learn Islam and learn from this particular figure, those kinds of things. There's an emotional thing, is that in my experience with these folks, it was like, there's an understanding of Islam that I have in my head, and that many of you do, too, that comes to us from the lens, again, of media or what we learn, and it's a relatively negative one. And so it was very important for me to recognize that the scholarship here, one of the speakers was a feminist, talking about Hussein's sister, Zainab, and the importance of her witness into the tradition. So there's one of the other speakers talked about the Big Bang. So we have lots of stereotypes about Islam. And, you know, it's not complex or it's patriarchal or all of those kinds of things. And some of those things can be true. But it also is incredibly human and the devotion there. So I'm really interested on the human level of what this experience is like. So I hope to come back with a renewed sense of our human beings, especially in the countries for which the United States has bombed. I'm going to say that too. Gone over there. We've done that one already. Maybe we can go over with an ambassador of peace rather than one of war. So that's another part, personally, of what that means to me. Other thoughts? Yeah.
Did you talk your wife into going with you?
I'm trying to get my daughter to come with me. She's game. My wife isn't quite interested. She physically wouldn't be able to do a trip like that. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm opening it up. Maybe folks will come here. Well, yes. How am I planning on going? I have the connections are through those groups, and it could be, you know, with the guy from LA, the seminary guy, or it could be with some Western people that they know, you know, who go. That most of the folks there go a lot, and I know after my speech, the director said that someone wanted to show me around Iraq a little bit too, and so it'd be a neat opportunity. So I don't really know exactly the specific plans. This is just the first excitement part of doing it.
Are you worried about your safety?
The safety concern. I'm not worried about my safety. Figure I'm going to hang out with 20 million people. However, the people who don't like them, who doesn't like them the most? Anybody want to take a guess?
Other Muslims.
But which ones?
The Sunnis.
Not so much Sunnis in general. ISIS. Know that. Why is that? And who are they? And who funds them? Those are some things to think about. But ISIS, very much, it is not like this. So they have a lot of security, Iraqi security, to protect the pilgrims from that. It wasn't during Saddam Hussein's reign. He outlawed it, the pilgrimage. So they had to do the pilgrimage on their own or risk all of that kind of stuff. But now that... he's not there. Now it's risen again. So,
are there any local connections here in our community to this group?
Across the street is the other Shia mosque. The only Shia mosque in Portland is the Islamic Center in Portland, and those are our buddies across the street. The person who runs the Husseiniya Islamic Society, Zahra Abidi, her twin sister Tess goes to the mosque here. So that's how that connection happened. And so I got to know them through that way. And remember when we did a few years ago with the young students and we did that Ramadan Tent Project? They were largely from this community.
You'll be around people that either speak Arabic or Sunni, and I'm wondering to what degree you'll be getting some kind of support for translation. Nothing worse than being standing around people you can't understand.
That's right. Yes, and so yeah, I'm not going on my own. So again, that I'm gonna trust my friends there to be able to have the connections, like again, either with the seminary or the other students or other people are English speakers or translators or something like that. Yeah. That's my sermon. Peace be with you.